Goodell is now making his way to the podium.
Here we go.
So we will open up the mic and send you to the Phoenix Convention Center and Roger Goodell live.
Before getting to your questions, let me make a few comments. First, congratulations to the Seahawks and the Patriots. They emerged as the best of the best in a terrific year of football. A season of amazing competition and plenty of challenges, learning, and real progress. We know when we meet our challenges effectively, we are a better league and a positive contributor to society. It's on us. I truly believe that we will continue to make progress because the NFL is made up of good and caring people. I'm realistic about the work that lies ahead and confident that we will do what is expected of us and even more importantly, of ourselves. Looking to the offseason, we will focus on innovation and technology in three key areas: the game, player safety, and the fan experience. We are doing more to protect our players from unnecessary risk. Hits to defenseless players this season were down 68%. And there were similar decreases in other areas pertaining to the safety of the game. We reported yesterday that concussions were down 25% this past regular season, continuing a three-year trend. Since 2012, concussions in regular season games have dropped from 173 to 111, a decrease of more than one-third. The real credit goes to the players and coaches. They have adjusted to the rules and the challenge of creating a culture of safety for our game. But there's more to do on player health and safety. Carefully reviewing and improving our concussion protocols will be a focus of our medical committees this offseason. And we are establishing the position of a chief medical officer. This individual, who we expect to have in place very soon, will oversee our medical-related policies, ensure that we update them regularly, and work closely with our medical committees, our advisors, and the Players Association. There is more work to do on other fronts. While the quality of the game continues to improve, fans want every play to have suspense, but the extra point has become virtually automatic. We have experimented with alternatives to make it more competitive play, and we expect to advance these ideas through the competition committee this offseason. We are looking at expanding the use of technology and innovation for our football and medical staffs, as well as our fans. Last year, technology improved officiating. For the first time, it enabled us to directly involve officiating supervisors in our office in instant replay, and for officials to use wireless communications on the field. Replay and other officiating decisions took less time. That's important. Fans don't want delays. Coaches don't want delays. They want action and accuracy. We are looking at other ways to enhance replay and officiating. That includes potentially expanding replay to penalties, if it can be done without more disruption to the pace of the game. And we are discussing rotating members of the officiating crews during the season as a way to improve consistency throughout our regular season and benefit our crews in the postseason. In officiating, consistency is our number one objective. The possibility of expanding the playoffs has also been a topic over the last couple of years. There are positives to it, but there are concerns as well. Among them being the risk of diluting our regular season and conflicting with college football in January. In another important area, we are continuing to our work to uphold the highest standards of responsible conduct so that we represent our fans and communities in a way that will make them proud. Yesterday, we held the first meeting of our new League Conduct Committee, chaired by Michael Bidwell. The committee reviewed our new personal conduct policy. It emphasizes ongoing education, prevention, support services, and raises the standards for all of us in the NFL. Most importantly, it is clearly more effective. On the issue of footballs used in the AFC Championship game, Ted Wells and our staff have been hard at work, conducting a thorough and objective investigation. As you would expect, we take seriously anything that potentially impacts the integrity of the game. We are focusing principally on two questions. Why were some footballs used in the game that were not in compliance with the rules? And was this the result of deliberate action? I want to emphasize, we have made no judgments on these points, and we will not compromise the investigation by engaging in speculation. When Ted Wells has completed his investigation and made his determination based on all relevant evidence, we will share his report publicly. Finally, on steps to grow the game and serve the fans, we are excited about the success of Thursday Night Football and the extension of our agreement with CBS. We have the best partners in media, and together we will continue to develop new platforms, expand fan interaction, and deepen fan engagement. Technology, great football, and our fans, that's a winning combination. How our fans, especially younger ones, connect with the game is changing every day. To that end, we are aggressively pursuing the streaming of a regular season game with our first over-the-top telecast. It would be carried on broadcast stations in both team markets, but it would also reach a worldwide audience, including millions of homes that do not have traditional television service. Let me finish with this. Football's popularity is extraordinary. The credit goes to the players, coaches, and the fans. We know the NFL's impact is far-reaching. It is most dramatically seen on Super Bowl Sunday. It means we have enormous responsibility to lead every day by example. It is what our fans deserve. We are humbled by and grateful for their passion. They are the ones who inspire me, our owners and coaches, and men like our Walter Payton Award finalists who are with us today. And we know we must earn the trust of our fans every day. I know you have questions on these and many other issues, so let's get to it.
You're listening to Roger Goodell live from Phoenix on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
From the Associated Press, in light of what you just finished your statement, with such a focus on the off-field issues, including what the public perceives as failures in the league's investigative process, dating back to the Saints bounties, as well as some problems on the field that you just referred to, what do you plan to do specifically before next season to restore faith in the league and in the quote-unquote shield? Thank you.
Yes, Barry. We've already begun that process, Barry. We have already begun the process of adding additional resources in terms of individuals that can bring a expertise to our office, an expertise to investigations. As you know, last fall I announced that we would hire a special counsel for investigations and conduct. We are in the search process and hope to conclude that in the very near future. We have great people working for the NFL, and we are adding resources, adding assets that will make sure that we have a thorough and fair process. We are also, as we demonstrated with Ted Wells, not afraid to go outside and to get outside perspective that can be valuable to us, a professional perspective that will give us the kind of outcome we want, which is a fair, with the truth being clear.
Roger.
Yes.
Jim Thomas, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I have a two-part question for you. What is the league's level of commitment to keeping a franchise in St. Louis, especially given the region's efforts to build a new stadium for the Rams for the second time in 20 years? And secondly, Rams ownership, by all appearances, seems to be more interested in the L.A. project than the St. Louis stadium project. How does this meet relocation guidelines, which call for teams to exhaust every opportunity in their own market before moving? Thank you.
Well, Jim, the first answer to your initial question is that we want all of our franchises to stay in their current markets. That's a shared responsibility. That's something that we all have to work together on. The league has programs, including stadium funding programs, that we make available, and we will work and have worked with communities, including St. Louis. We also will make sure that we're engaging the business community and the public sector in a way that can help us lead to solutions that work in those communities, and in your case, St. Louis, and then make sure that it works for the community as well as for the team, so our teams can be successful over the long term. The second part of your question, Jim, was the interest in the ownership. You know, Stan has been working on the stadium issue in St. Louis, as you know, for several years. They had a very formal process as part of their lease. That process, they went through that entire process. It did not result in a solution that works either for St. Louis or for the team. So I don't think the stadium is a surprise to anybody in any market that is having these issues. There's quite a bit of discussion about it. And the St. Louis representatives seem determined to build the stadium. That's a positive development, something that we look forward to working with them.
Yes, Commissioner Bob Kravitz with WTHR.
Yes.
In Indianapolis. Robert Kraft said the other day that he felt that you and your office owed him an apology if nothing came out of the investigation, the Wells investigation. What are your thoughts on that matter?
Well, Bob, my thoughts are this is my job. This is my responsibility to protect the integrity of the game. I represent 32 teams. All of us want to make sure that the rules are being followed. And if we have any information where the potential is that those rules were violated, I have to pursue that, and I have to pursue that aggressively. So this is my job. This is the job of the league office. It is what all 32 clubs expect, and I believe our partners, our fans expect, and we will do it vigorously. And it is important for it to be thorough and fair.
Roger, it's Sam Farmer of the Los Angeles Times. 2015 marks the 20th year without a franchise in the nation's second largest market. And coincidentally, the 20th consecutive year that I've asked this question. Earlier this
I do recognize it already, Sam. You want me to finish it for you?
Should I just drop the mic? Earlier this month, as Jim mentioned, Rams owner Stan Kroenke announced plans for an 80,000-seat stadium at Hollywood Park. Considering that he has the land, the vast resources, both financial and political, can anyone else win this race? What's the criteria that the league is going to use to determine which team is or teams are able to relocate to Los Angeles? And what if an owner decides to go rogue and without the NFL's blessing says, I'm just going to move my team no matter what you say?
Well, Sam, several points that you made there, and let me try to be responsive to all of them. First, let me start with your second question. The ownership takes very seriously the obligation for us all to vote on any serious matter, including relocation of a franchise. There's a relocation policy that is very clear. We have shared it with our ownership over the last several years. We have emphasized the point in each of those meetings that there will be at least one vote, if not multiple votes, if there is any relocation. We would have potentially the relocation itself, potential stadium funding, potential Super Bowls. So a lot of things would likely be subject to a vote. And our ownership takes that very seriously, and we take that very seriously. So any relocation will be subject to a vote. As it relates to the first part of your question, there have been no determinations of us going to Los Angeles, any particular team going to Los Angeles, or going to any particular stadium. We have several alternatives that we're evaluating, both from a site standpoint. There are teams that are interested but are trying to work their issues out locally. And so as a league, we haven't got to that stage yet. And it will all be subject to our relocation policy. There are requirements in that policy, as you know, particularly as it relates to cooperation and working to make sure they solve the issues in their local market. But I'm confident all of that will be covered within the relocation policy and with our membership approval.
Roger, Mike Garofalo, Fox Sports One. I realize that this question might seem to some people petty, especially in comparison to some of the other things you'll be asked this morning, but Marshawn Lynch's cooperation or lack thereof with the media this week has become a big story. And since even before you were commissioner, you concerned yourself with growing the game, with marketing the game. So what's your take on how he handled the media this week, and has your office made a decision whether he'll be fined for a lack of participation or for wearing a non-licensed hat?
On the second part of your question, I do not believe any decision's been made on that. Our staff will probably look at that following the Super Bowl and make a determination, as they have in the past. You know, I've been very clear that when you're in the NFL, you have an obligation to the fans. It is part of your job. And there are things that we all have to do in our jobs that we may not necessarily want to do. I think Marshawn understands the importance of the Super Bowl, the importance of his appearance, and the importance of him as an individual in this game. And fans are curious. Fans want to know. The media would like to make that story clear to the to our fans. I understand it may not be on the top of his list, but everyone else is cooperating. Everyone else is doing their part because it is our obligation. And as I say, there are a lot of things we don't like to do in our jobs, but it comes with the territory, and it comes with the privilege of playing in the Super Bowl.
You're listening to Roger Goodell live from Phoenix as he addresses the State of the Union in the NFL.
Speaking of jobs, it's been a tough year for you and your job this year. Many people in America, if they went through the year you've had, probably would have resigned or been fired. Can you envision any set of circumstances which would lead you to resigning or being fired as your job as commissioner?
No, I can't. Does that surprise you? It has been a tough year. It's been a tough year on me personally. It's been a year of what I would say humility and learning. We obviously as an organization have gone through adversity, but more importantly, it's been adversity for me. And that is something where we take that seriously. It's an opportunity for us to get better. It's an opportunity for us, for our organization to get better. So we've all done a lot of soul searching, starting with yours truly. And we have taken action. A lot of the concerns that we had back in August, where we didn't have a policy that addressed a very complex issue, we didn't have answers for that. We didn't fully understand those issues. Well, now we have experts in the field. They're in our office. They're helping us understand this. Advisors that have given us a better understanding of the issues and how to deal with these complex issues. We went on the road. We've spoken to, last count I had was well over 150 experts, whether they're former players, college university presidents, law enforcement officials. How can we do a better job of managing these complex issues? And we set out to create a new personal conduct policy. which was unanimously approved by our 32 owners in December. So we've made enormous progress. The things we didn't know and the things where we were in August are not where we are today. We're in a good place in knowing and learning and being more having a lot more humility. And as an organization and as an individual, it's been a tough year, but a year of great progress, and I'm excited about the future. The second and probably important issue for us is that we want to make a difference in this area, not just internally, but externally. We've done a great deal to bring more awareness to these issues of domestic violence and sexual assault. We are committed to that. We are working with various organizations to try to make sure that we, as my advisors like to say, and Jane Randall's over here, normalize the conversation, bring awareness, understand what victims and survivors are going through. One of the most compelling moments I had of this entire fall was going to shelters or going to a hotline center and being able to speak to the advocates and hear the fear, the emotion, the economic consequences. That is compelling, and it will make you understand this issue much more deeply. And we as the NFL and this commissioner understands it a lot better today than he did before. And I think we as the NFL want to make this an important issue where we can make a difference in society in general, because this is a problem in the broader society.
Commissioner John Sutcliffe from ESPN,
yes.
Taking into account what the Mexican market needs for the league, the largest attendance, but it's been since 2005 since the league has had a regular season game in Mexico City, and the fans don't understand why. Can you explain to them why?
John, we have tremendous fans in Mexico. We had a great experience with the regular season game down there. As you know, that was our first ever. It was a tremendous success for us, and we want to get back there. We want to play more games there. It's a combination of stadium availabilities, making sure that we can do it at the standards and the level that we expect to do it. When we do it, we want to do it well. We have had a tremendous amount of focus in London, but we are looking at other markets, including Mexico, and we certainly hope we're going to be back there soon.
Rachel Nichols from CNN. Roger, you guys have faced a lot of problems over the past year that have a really wide range, but a lot of the issues have in common is a conflict of interest. When you do something like hire an outside investigator like Ted Wells into the Patriots investigation, mm-hmm. you're still paying him, and Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots, is still paying you. So even when you do everything right in one of those situations, it opens you guys up to a credibility gap with some of the public and even with some of your most high-profile players. What steps can you guys take in the future to mitigate some of those conflict of interest issues?
Well, Rachel, I don't agree with you on a lot of the assumptions you make in your question. I think we have had people that have uncompromising integrity. Robert Mueller is an example who I think you asked me the same question last fall about a conflict of interest. Their integrity is impeccable. Ted Wells' integrity is impeccable. These are professionals that bring an outside expertise, an outside perspective, and their conclusions are drawn only by the evidence and only by the attempt to try and to identify that truth. So I think we have done an excellent job of bringing outside consultants in. Somebody has to pay them, Rachel. So unless you're volunteering, which I don't think you are, we will do that. But we have the responsibility to protect the integrity of the league, whether we have an owner that's being investigated or whether we have a commissioner that's being investigated, they're done at the highest level of integrity and quality.
Hi, Roger, good morning. It's Ron Mott, NBC News. A number of your players have been quite vocal about criticizing you and your leadership. And so a two-part question here is, one, how would you describe your relationship with the league's players? And B, what plans do you have in mind to try to improve that relationship going forward?
Well, Ron, obviously there's close to 3,000 players at any given time in the NFL. I communicate with our players on a regular basis, in almost every case privately. I seek their input. particularly when we're making decisions that affect players, which are most decisions. We spend an awful lot of time talking with former players who are a great input in our personal conduct policy. We also reach out to the Players Association for their perspective. So we are not going to agree on every matter. We understand that. But no one has more respect for the players, what they do in our communities, what they do on the field, their importance to the NFL going forward. And I've had the great privilege of being able to work closely with them for now 30 some odd years. And that's a privilege for me. Their well-being, their future are important to me. We spend a great deal of time on player health and safety. We want to make this game as safe as possible for them. We want to make it sure that we do everything to make sure while they're here and when they transition out of football, we are helping them be successful. So I will continue to reach out for them. I will continue to have the input that they're willing to give me. We will also work with the Players Association. But when we disagree on matters, such as the personal conduct policy, we're not going to compromise the NFL. We agree that we need to raise standards in the NFL. That's what our owners said. We agree that we have to make sure that we're not completely relying on law enforcement. Our owners agree with that. We don't want to wait until law enforcement concludes a process that could take months. We need to take action. We had a fundamental difference with the Players Association on that. So we implemented our personal conduct policy to make sure we have that ability. We will continue to work with them. We will continue to try to find ways to strengthen that policy and to address any issues they raise. Yes.
I'm Jason Winnick of Dallas Sports Source.
Yes, Jason.
In the league's quest to keep innovating with respect to technology and digital media, has there been greater discussion about using both even better to better persuade more kids and their parents about getting involved with football rather than being dissuaded by it?
Absolutely. Jason, we've spent a great deal of time, as you know, with USA Football. We help with the Players Association to create that to help us promote the game of football on all levels. And they've done an extraordinary job. We created a heads-up football program, which is just 2 or 3 years old now, which the adoption rate on the youth level and now the high school level is extraordinary. It's teaching coaches how to teach safe techniques. It's teaching kids how to play the game safely. And that's good for the long-term future of the game. And we'll continue to invest in it as we've done. We committed $45 million to youth football through our NFL Foundation. Again, to promote the game, but to promote it being played safely. The game of football, and someone who played it through youth football, through high school, I think the values, the character that comes from playing a team sport like football is extraordinary, and I want kids to have that same opportunity. Yes.
Hi, my name is Bobby Senna, and I'm the NFL Play 60 Super Kid.
I just met you, Bobby. Nice to see you again.
Well, playing 60 is an important part of my life, but how do you play 60? I told you it was a tough question.
Well, Bobby, I played 65 this morning, as a matter of fact. I was in the gym at 4:45 this morning doing the elliptical, and I believe in that. I believe in the importance of taking care of yourself from a physical standpoint, an emotional standpoint, a mental standpoint. And that's a routine that I have. I just get in a routine and I don't let it go.
Roger, Fox 29 TV and Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia. When Sean Payton was suspended from Bounty Gate, you had said, and when he said he was unaware, that ignorance is no excuse. Will the same standards apply, as you said, to the integrity of the game when you complete your investigation on these footballs, and if they were deflated by anybody, will the same standards hold true for Bill Belichick? And one other question. Richard Sherman said the other day that if the players should be available every week, you as the commissioner should be available to the fans and the media on a weekly basis as well. Can you address his question as well?
Well, let me start with the second one. I understand the obligation of my job to meet with the media. I don't know whether I meet with them in a press conference every week, but I'm available to the media almost every day of my job professionally. So we try to make ourselves available on a very regular basis. It is my responsibility, it's my job, and I will do that. The first part of your question, I want to make sure that we don't mix issues. These are individual cases. The Saints Bounty case was something, without getting into the details of it, there were allegations of that a year prior. We investigated that, did not find anything. Later, new information came to us that verified that a bounty program was in place. At that point in time, they were all on notice that bounty programs obviously are unacceptable, that there were suspicions, and that they shouldn't continue to exist. So I do hold the head coach responsible in that case. We don't know enough in this investigation to know who is responsible or whether there was even an infraction. When we get the facts from Ted Wells, we will certainly take all that into account, and we will make the right decision to protect the integrity of the league.
Over here. Hi, yes. Amber Dixon, NBC Las Vegas. Las Vegas has long expressed interest in having a professional sports team, whether it be NHL, NBA, or NFL. In your opinion, do you think Las Vegas could sustain a professional team?
Well, I can't speak to other sports for sure. I certainly can't speak even to the NFL because I haven't had any dialogue with officials in Las Vegas about how that could happen successfully for Las Vegas and for the NFL. A stadium would be a big component to that. I'm not sure that exists right now. But I do understand the passion of the fans in Las Vegas and their interest in football.
Commissioner, yes. Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports in the United Kingdom. Can you tell us the thinking behind the move to early kickoff times for the games in London in 2015 and whether that move to an earlier time slot would enhance chances of a franchise in London or an expanded package of games in the UK?
Well, it's something that we experimented with last year. It was our first game at 9:30 Eastern time here in the States. It ended up being very successful here as our fans had another national window on Sunday morning, and our fans said, we love it, we'd like to see more. But we also had a tremendous reaction in London with our fans. At that particular week last year, it was at 1:30, the game. And our fans were able to go to the game in the afternoon. Some that were coming from other parts of Europe were able to get home. And we found that it was a very positive change. So we wanted to experiment with more. And we did that this year. In fact, all three of our games will be at 9:30. And we found that it's a terrific for our fans, both in London and on this side of the pond also. So we'll continue it. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the long-term future or whether a franchise is there. We are excited about the continuing growth of the popularity of the NFL in the UK, particularly London. And we're going to continue to learn every year from our experience and continue to try to give them more football, which is what they want.
You are listening to live coverage of Roger Goodell's news conference live from Phoenix and Super Bowl week here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Shout out Roger Goodell.
The air pressure of football is in the middle of a game, and how important is that as a frame of reference in this Patriots investigation?
But just so I'm clear, when you say middle of a game, do you mean while play is going on?
At halftime.
Well, I think we were pretty clear. We tested them at the AFC Championship game at halftime.
But have they ever been tested in other games as a frame of reference related to that?
I don't know the answer to that question. That would be something I presume that Ted Wells would look into, and we'll provide that information for.
Commissioner Ken Bellson, New York Times. I'm just, I understand this is ultimately not your decision, but do you believe you personally deserve a pay cut this year for your performance?
That's up to the owners. They evaluate my performance, they evaluate my compensation every year, and I don't argue.
Hi, Commissioner. Dan Kaplan, Sports Business Journal. 4 years ago, you challenged the owners to get to $25 billion of league revenues. I think it was within a 15 or 17-year time frame. Do you think you'll reach that objective?
Well, the challenge wasn't just to the owners. It was to all of us. We wanted to make sure that we were continuing to grow the league in not only its popularity, but also opportunities to grow revenue. I don't know whether we'll get there, but we're working towards that goal. It's It's something that we think is practical, but we want to do the growth in the right way. The most important thing is everything we do has to become high quality. It has to be done in a way that reflects well on the NFL. So we're not going to pursue revenue without an important aspect of how does that impact our brand, how does it impact what we're doing to make sure that we're delivering on what we need to deliver to our fans. So it's a goal, but it's not something we're going to overlook other important objectives for.
Heather Yacko, NBC News 11 here in Arizona.
Right over here. Hi, Heather. Yep, hi. I see you.
Thank you. Okay. Why did we plan on having Super Bowl 49 in Arizona this year, and do you feel like a lot of the ball controversy has taken away from Sunday's game?
What was the first part of your question, Heather?
Why we decided to go with Arizona for Super Bowl 49.
Well, Arizona earned it. We've had a great experience here in Arizona in prior years. They put together a winning bid that our ownership selected, and they deserve it. And I think the proof is in the pudding. They have done an outstanding job this week. We still have more work to do, but we couldn't be happier with the hospitality, with the plans, the cooperation. To put on an event like this takes a lot of people, and this community has wrapped their arms around every opportunity and made the Super Bowl even bigger and better for our fans and for the NFL overall. So we're thrilled about being here, and we look forward to coming back.
Commissioner Vic Carucci, Buffalo News. In light of the new ownership in Buffalo, what's your perspective on the need for a new stadium, and what would be the timetable in your mind for when that should be built?
Well, as you know, they have new ownership. Terry and Kim have been very focused on the stadium. I think that's one of the things they're evaluating with their franchise. What's the next generation of stadium? I think that's an important consideration for the Buffalo market in that region, but also for the NFL and Terry and Kim. I do believe that a stadium long-term is going to be needed in that marketplace. I'm from Western New York. I love Ralph Wilson Stadium, but it's got to compete against a lot of these new stadiums that have a lot of very important features that stadium doesn't have. So they're going through that process. We will certainly work with them, cooperate with them, and if we can be helpful, we will.
Roger, Bart Hubbock with the New York Post. Richard Sherman alluded to this the other day about possible favoritism on your part toward specifically Robert Kraft. And GQ Magazine even quoted a league executive calling him the assistant commissioner. How do you react to this allegation, and will you avoid having your picture taken at owners' houses before any future conference championship games?
No, I won't, Bart. I was at the Kraft's residence along with season ticket holders, sponsors, media partners the night before as part of an AFC championship party. That's part of what we do, and I was there to participate in a program with our partner CBS, taking questions from the audience, and it's something that I do on a regular basis, so that's not unusual. It's also not unusual that I work very closely with ownership, particularly someone like Robert Kraft, who serves on multiple committees, the broadcast committee. We spend an awful lot of time on that. He's on the finance committee. He works on several important league initiatives. So professionally, I have a relationship with him. And I also admire, respect, and think very highly of him on a personal level. So there's no hiding from that standpoint. But since he knows me so well, and he knows me, and that I am not going to do anything to compromise the integrity of the league, I think he has no doubt that I will do the right thing for the NFL.
Roger, over here. Jason Cole, BleacherReport.com. My question about Deflategate is, I'm trying to sort this out in my own head, is how is throwing a deflated ball drastically different than throwing a spitter in baseball, which is not considered the worst crime in the world, a suspendable offense, but maybe a few games? How do you see it differently?
Well, I can't really respond to what happens in baseball and other sports. We have rules. We're a league of rules. The 32 teams, our partners, and every fan expects us to follow those rules. And if there are rules that dictate the pressure in footballs, or there are rules about how the game is played between the white lines, we're going to enforce those rules. And they'll be enforced, whether they're enforced with penalties, with financial penalties, with suspensions, with draft choices. Any number of things can be used in the context of that if there's a violation of those rules. Whether a competitive advantage was actually gained or not is secondary in my mind to whether that rule was violated. That's the integrity of our game. And when those rules are violated, we will take that seriously. Yes.
Roger, Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune. Just minutes ago, the mayor in San Diego announced a task force to explore a stadium getting built there. You've been very complimentary of what Dean Spanos has done in terms of trying to get that done there. Can you speak to the fans there about how important it is? Do they need a new stadium? And also, has Dean done enough to demonstrate that he's tried to work things out locally?
Well, the answer is we all have to work together on this. So from a fan perspective, from a Charger standpoint, from the NFL standpoint, from public officials and the business community, this is a shared responsibility. Dean and his family have worked for 10 to 12 years trying to get a new stadium. They do need a new stadium for the Chargers to be successfully there long term. It's one of the oldest stadiums in the league, if not the oldest stadium in the league. And we need that for the fans also. It's important to the franchise so they can remain competitive, but it's also important for the fans because fans expect those amenities now. So it's something we'll continue to work. I'm glad to hear he's got a task force going, but they have been working at this for 12 years, and it's something that we need to see tangible results sooner rather than later.
Listen, we're getting bored by this Roger Goodell news conference too.
But here's the reality. This guy has not spoken since September 19th. Can we hear the question just a little bit, guys? Because we don't want to miss anything. So the reality is we're going to stick with this in case something hilarious happens. But I agree with Tim. This is getting dry. With all due respect to Mexico's foothold with their NFL future.
And pandering for new stadiums in every single market that feels like they need a new stadium. But we don't want to miss anything.
But we hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
We hear you.
Loud and clear.
Let's go back there and see if anything better is going on.
Feel the same way.
Well, Jeff, I spoke to Tom Benson just the other day. He was going into the office as usual. He was in complete control, energetic, excited about getting to the office, asking about league issues. As you know, he's been one of our more active owners in the league on various committees. They obviously have a dispute going on, which is always unfortunate in this case. It deals with succession as opposed to the current management. And Tom Benson is a man of great integrity and a man that is enthusiastic about the NFL, the Saints, New Orleans, and somebody that has demonstrated to me he's got complete control over what he's doing to make sure that organization goes in the right direction. Yes.
Hi, Ian Walker from the London Evening Standard. Just following up on London.
Keep the audio up, Lance, but we're going to jump in here. Again, the rules are now as follows. We're going to ignore stuff we're not interested in.
Correct.
This is Tim and Sid. I'm Sid Sixer's Tim McAuliffe.
Correct.
And we're going to wait for the next hard-hitting question that Roger Goodell will attempt to dance around or if he says anything else. Keep in mind, this is a man I'm not interested, Roger, right now. Roger Goodell, I haven't seen, and I can't confirm this, Timmy, I haven't seen Roger Goodell on camera since September 19th of last year. Have you?
The Friday news conference in New York City, downtown New York, in Manhattan.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I can't remember off the top of my head either. And yet he said during this thing that he was available every day to the media.
Wow.
Is that press releases? What is that?
That might be no comments. I think he's being fast and loose with those rules. Funny that the NFL is fast and loose with the rules. But the couple things I did take out of it, Timmy, as we still kind of keep an ear on it. He's not going to give Bob Kraft any type of apology here going forward, depending on what he finds in Deflategate. That's not happening.
by now.
I would like to say that I know that, but I feel like he said a whole lot of nothing. Like he's gone a long, long way to say as little as he possibly can, other than we need money for stadiums and we're in a process to get better.
Okay, he's going to say something.
There we go.
Yes.
Dave Briggs, CNBC. The average ticket is now over $10,000, making it the most expensive Super Bowl, the most expensive sporting event of all time. But there's concern that the free market's not dictating those prices, that it's being fixed, that it's being manipulated. Is there any concern, and is that something the league is looking at?
Does this interest you, Timmy?
Well, just to be specific to your question, I think you meant on secondary level.
Yes,
the prices are at that secondary level. I think that shows the incredible fan demand.
Because we make a lot of them available.
We obviously follow that closely.
All right. We'll drop this one out just a little bit, Lance. You keep it hot, obviously, in our ear. Statistics in English, Tim, that Roger Goodell, it's been a while now, so if you're just tuning into Tim and Sid, you might have missed this. Roger Goodell saying 68% of hits on defenseless players this season. That's a decrease in hits on defenseless players, 68%. He thinks he claims concussions are down 25%.
Yeah, from last year and over 33% from 2012.
But what's the reported? So that's just reported concussions are down 25%.
Correct.
Right?
Were they reported before? How are they reported now? All relative.
Concussions reported in 2012 were 173 in a given season. They're down to 111. So he's claiming that the rules to help defenseless players are working. He also didn't give Marshawn Lynch too much of a pass. Doesn't sound like a call's been made on his merchandising, whether he's going to get fined for that. Beast Mode hats, which has been a bit of a storyline here this week. Which
are we really rifling through all the things that he said while he's still talking about nothing? No, I know. It's the truth.
But what he's saying right now really doesn't interest me, yet I don't want to completely leave it. Roger, question.
You made a series of proposals in early 2008 in the aftermath of the Spygate penalties regarding future competitive violations. You wrote then of increased penalties and also a lower threshold in terms of the standard of proof, and then the owners ratified those. Have those standards come up in any case since then, and do you consider them, particularly the lower burden of proof, to be in effect as you move forward in investigating this case?
Well, we want the truth, Mark. That's what I think our fans want. That's what our clubs
so
want.
So do I.
And so what we want to do is make sure that we find that truth. If there are violations of the rules, we take them seriously, particularly when they deal with the integrity of the game and the rules. The standards are always reevaluated. We will make sure that if the penalties that exist in any given circumstances don't fit those violations, we'll adjust that. We'll increase that. That's important for us to do as we continue to make sure that the league is run in the appropriate way and with the right integrity. Okay, thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank God.
My goodness.
Holy cow, man.
So that's what we were looking forward to?
Roger Goodell rising elliptical in the mornings. That's some of the stuff we learned today.
I want to hear more about his workout regimen, if that's possible.
Is there a Roger Goodell, like Geraldo selfie coming out soon, shirtless? You know that's coming out soon.
Thank Roger God Goodell, the Play 60 kid was there to ask the question.
How do you play 60?
I play 65.
Mr. Goodell, how do you play 60? Boom.
If I were to encapsulate what we just listened to over the last 45 minutes, would I be far off in simply playing this clip for you, Sidney Sixero?
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Yep.
It's all good. All good. Nothing
to
see here.
Am I off?
No, that's pretty much it.
Is that like I feel
but people
like
people tried, right? People tried.
But I feel like we need to ask more of, I don't know, I don't care if you call him a public figure, but our figures in the public eye. We need to ask more of them. And in those situations, you need to be able to follow up, right?
Yeah, normally that's what would get him in trouble, is if you could follow up on anything he said. But in this type of environment, they shut you down when that question's asked.
Right.
And they're on to the next
person. Rachel Nichols' question was an interesting one.
And she was going to eat him for lunch if she could ask follow-up.
And he was dismissive of the question. And then Rachel Nichols is unable to follow up. But just feel like we didn't get a lot from Roger Goodell in this moment. And maybe I was expecting too much.
The Bob Kraft thing I thought was interesting. But there wasn't much more after that.
But we don't know what they're investigating in Deflategate. He gave us two questions.
Well, what they're investigating is, were the rules broken? He said whether or not it enhanced or did enhance performance for Tom Brady is not what they're looking at right now.
Right.
They're looking at whether or not a rule was broken.
So are they going to take away an AFC championship from him?
I think that's a completely rational way to go about this.